Psalm 127. Thank God for the lighthouse. For this poor soul, it was New Edinburgh Baptist Church in New Edinburgh, Arkansas. A.D. Livingston was preaching. And as he would do with that, had a cut off finger, so it was a stub, and he would pound the pulpit with that stub. I guess he had no nerves left. Just pound it. I'm going to drive a peg right here. And one of those pegs got into this old boy's heart. And I prayed to receive Christ on a Thursday night. I've claimed Thursday night. I was 5 years old. So claimed Thursday night. Because, you know, you always sang that song, "It Was on a Monday." You had to have a night, you know, or else mom and dad start worrying about you. Did he never get saved? You know. So stood up on Thursday night, claimed it. And that's the night that I'm claiming that I got saved. It might have been a Monday night. I'm convinced it doesn't matter because I got saved. I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that is why we are here. We are here to proclaim the gospel so other men, women, boys, and girls, no matter their age, no matter their gender, no matter their race, can receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. And we're going to get into that this morning with Psalm 127, why children's ministries are essential. Why children's ministries are essential. Would you please stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word? This passage does something that at first glance you might think that, well, it's just got two different subjects. But in reality, it is one subject. But he starts here with talking about that whatever you do, you need to make sure that the Lord is the God of what you're doing. So here we go in Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sheep asleep. Now, I shared this with first service, and we certainly have more young people in our second service. But I'm going to tell you a little secret. In first service, we had 12 people in the nursery that were not workers. Yeah. We have a deacon that will remain nameless. His initials are Jack Powers. But he used to always joke after he would spend some time with some of the youth and just get so encouraged by them. He'd look at me and go, "I'm going to take Vanita off the pill." That's what he'd say. You're supposed to laugh. That's a joke. Now, watch this. Yeah, I know some of you. Bless your hearts. Watch this. The first service is growing young and old. Hallelujah. The second service is growing young and old. Hallelujah. Now watch this. So he giveth his beloved sleep. The first service, a lot of them are to an age that sleep cannot be taken for granted. Just a true story. I'm old enough that I understand that. God gives sweet rest to those that let Him plan their days. He does. He gives sweet rest to those. Look at verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. It seems that we have made a course change. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Father, we ask You to add Your blessings to the reading and preaching of Your holy word. Change us, Father, to look more like You. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Disclaimer. Even though I certainly could, I do not feel led. And even though this subject can be found in this passage, this is not the direction I'm going to, but I believe because of the cultural war that we are in, I would be remiss not to address the subject that everything that you and I, that we're going to hear and say today about young people. We are in a world that a certain class of young person is in a very precarious situation. And that class is the unborn. In church, we are to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And the truth is, abortion is not a political football. Abortion is a sin. And we must love all of God's children, born and unborn. Now watch this. If you're here today and you do not agree with that, we love you. Thank you. We love you. And we're not here to upset anyone, but we are going to be the cancer doctor when we need to be, and we're going to tell you the truth. And so if you have a differing opinion, man, let's sit down. I'll buy the coffee. I'll buy the McDonald's, whatever. And we'll talk. Because I love, as iron sharpeneth iron, so one man's countenance sharpeneth another man's countenance. But with that said, I'm not going to sit here and say that I know that we all agree, as much as we're going to set that subject to the side. And we're going to make an assumption that we agree with what the Scripture says here, and that children are a heritage of the Lord. And then we're going to move forward as to how you and I as a church are to see that. Why children's ministries are essential. Number one, and we're looking at verse 3, and yes, I'm going to come back to 1-2 in a moment. But in verse 3, they are God's inheritance. If you look up in the 1828 app, Webster, it says that heritage means an inheritance. And so God is saying that children are His inheritance. Now, please hear me. Adults, parents, I understand I have three of the little boogers of my own. I understand the frustration of parenthood. Can I get a witness, adults? Yeah. I get it. But the reality, the biblical reality is that amidst all of the frustration, God wants you and I to know that children are a blessing. They are. And even though they can be difficult, and I think we could probably call our mothers and fathers and get the same witness. We were difficult. All children are a blessing because they come from God. They can't get here without God. Not only are they a blessing, they are a representation of His wealth. Children are a representation of God's wealth. When God gives you a child, He gives you part of heaven. When Joseph and Mary were holding baby Jesus, they were holding the bankruptcy of heaven. God bankrupted heaven when He gave Jesus to this world. And this world became a wealthy place when the Son of God came in the form of a baby. They are a blessing. They are a representation of His wealth. Point number two, look at verse 3a. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and now b, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. The fruit of a womb, the womb, is His reward. I can show you in another place in Scripture that a woman cannot be pregnant without God's blessing. God opens and shuts the womb. Hear me. Point number two. They are here by His will and design. They are. He wants you to have children in your life to some level. He wants you to have children in your church to some level. And church, please hear me. Some of you may be thinking, boy, Brother Ben, are your eyes, you know, you're losing your ability? We got children. I'm not telling you that to try to convince you that you ought to be okay with children. I'm just telling you that that's the natural order of things from Scripture, is that every church ought to be welcoming to children. And one of the ways you do that is VBS. You put strange-looking trees on columns. And that's a joke. It's a beautiful tree. Watch this, church. When we say amen here today, many of you need to walk the halls, because this place has been transformed. And this is a very small representation. Some of the rooms are just, they're not rooms anymore. They're jungles and the such. And you better watch out there. There's spiders. I almost stomped that whole banister this morning when I walked in. Because when I'm from Arkansas, good spider's a dead spider. Spiders have a higher level of hate than snakes in Arkansas. Just, what? Okay. They're ants, she says. Well, then they'll get a reprieve from me. All right? Praise God. I'm glad to know they're ants. Things scared me, like, because they looked like spiders. Now, what am I trying to tell you? We do this to attract children. We do it to keep children. We do it to teach children. We do it to let children know that we love them. He wants us, watch this, He wants us to have children in our life in church, and He wants us to welcome them and train them, and we just covered that. He wants them to be mighty warriors for His cause. Look at verse 4. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. The subject that I just talked about at the start of this message, every one of our youth ought to be able to carry a biblical discussion about that topic in their world. As difficult as it is, as hurtful as it can feel at first, our children ought to be trained. And I know that that is Brad's desire. I know that that's the Sunday school teacher's desire. I know that that's the aim. We deal with these topics at church camp. We deal with these topics in those intimate times in Awana and the such, because it's so important that our young people be able to talk about these subjects, because their friends need to know the true answers. Their boyfriends and girlfriends need to know. In church, this is yours and my responsibility. We have churches all throughout our association that are dying because of a lack of young people. And one of the reasons is we have not given the proper priority to young people. There's one reason and one reason only that we have a youth director at this church, and it's not because I don't want to mess with the young people. It's because we have put the proper priority on young people. Watch this. There's one reason and one reason only we do Awana, is because we need help. And that's why we have more than just one thing that the youth director does. Awana reaches out to the multiple ages. Sunday school reaches out to the multiple ages. We're trying to train these young people for what is coming to them. He wants them to be mighty warriors for His cause. I shared this in the first service. Those of you that have had children, you know what that first day after the birth, those first moments, you're sitting there holding that little package. Now, I can't speak for you, but as a Southern man, I wanted to have a boy sooner or later. Just a true story. My first child, the doctors told us was a boy. All of the silly little things, well, you're carrying that baby low, or you're carrying it high, or you got heartburn. You know, they all knew. They all knew that it was going to be a boy. They were all wrong. Every one of them. The problem is, I had bought in. I'm having a boy. I'm having me a boy. Yeah, look at there. Well, I'm having me a boy. 2 weeks before Molly is born, we had another ultrasound. I was convinced this guy's just trying to make money. But he was concerned that she was going to be good size. Of course, at that point, we thought it was he. They did another ultrasound, and the first ultrasound had said boy. But it was obvious on this one. Mama was elated. Everybody in the family was elated. I'm looking for a good counselor. Lord, and one of the things that we all knew, because she sat right here back in that day, and when I'd preach, that baby would pop her every time I'd get loud. Boom. Oh, it's going to be, what?
Music. You were doing music.
I was doing music, thank you. Well, I said every time I got loud, don't mess up my sermon. She's right. I was not pastoring the church at that time. Anyway, when I would sing and lead singing, she would, it's going to be a preacher. He's going to be a preacher. One problem. He's a girl. I've got 2 weeks to get happy. That's the way I felt about it. Because that wonderful young lady deserves a happy daddy that she's here. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. I got right, folks. Church, I got right. I repented and I got ready for a baby girl. Baby number two. 5 years later. What do we want to do? I don't want to know. I want to be surprised. Because after our first experience, I don't know that I can handle another one. If I'm Ken Burnett and all I have girls, I'll be thrilled. But I can't do this. I cannot do that. I'm done. When that doctor pulls that kid out, we'll be good. I'm ready. And here Benjamin came. That's how they come. Most usually. And I'm holding that boy. And I'm like, so now can I get it? Yes, you can get excited. All right, I got my boy. Got my boy. Now, those of you that know Benjamin, you know that he looks here now, and I look here on him. He's a big boy. He's a good-sized young man. When I go places that are seemingly a little sketchy, I send him first. They're going to think twice with him, me, that I can take him. They look at Benjamin, let's just be friends, you know. And I'm not trying to tell you that Benjamin is this big MMA guy. He's not. But he looks a little scary. Watch this. Church, listen to me. These young people should scare the devil. They should. These young people should give the devil worries. These young people should be able to handle themselves in the world. These young people should be able to handle themselves with their flesh, because we as a church, hopefully, prayerfully, and yes, there's always room for improvement. Can I get a witness? There's always room for improvement. We're not done. We haven't arrived, but we're trying to enlist and train and put godly character in every one of these kids, and it starts at home, church. It starts at home, and you parents are doing an excellent job. I cannot applaud you loudly enough. But at age 14, before Benjamin got all he's got now in size and looks and all that, I told him, young man, God has given you some responsibility with the muscles and the such. Church, every one of you adults know this. We are at the scariest time of our life. Somebody can come into one of our schools and completely change our lives forever. We live in that world. It happened Friday. So on and so forth. And church, please hear me. Please hear me. If you find yourself in a situation like that, you listen to the Holy Spirit better than you've ever listened before. And if He tells you to run, you run. If He tells you to hide, you hide. But men of the church, you hear me, men. We sing and say that we are in the home of the free and the home of the brave. It's time we live that. As men, it is time that we still live that truth. And young men, and I know, ladies, that you can fight just as well. I'm not here trying to put one over the other, but I'm telling you, the biblical role of manhood is protection. That's one of the biblical roles. And I taught my 14-year-old that if you feel led to, you run towards the shots instead of away. And it's extremely important that we train our young people to effectively be able to fire those biblical arrows that the Bible is talking about. You see, this is the truth. The custom of that day was to have as many children as you could have, because there would come a day that those children would be men and women, and they would protect those that needed protection. And he refers in this verse of meeting people, the enemies, at the gate. And the verse is referring to that when the elders of the city are meeting the armies that have laid siege to the city, when they're meeting them at the gate, all of the grown young men that were babies just 20 years ago, they're standing there with their bows and arrows ready to go. And now all of a sudden, we have some bargaining power. And church, these young people are not our future. They are our present. And these young people will help us go get more young people and share the glorious gospel with them. And as we train those people that we win with the glorious gospel, they will take on the bows and arrows of the gospel. And it's just absolutely imperative that we make children the priority that they ought to be. Watch this. When I said the priority, I meant one of, because everybody in here knows the priority is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can take you to the verse that says that. Matthew 28, 18 and following. But certainly, we have from this passage that these young people and the young people that we're going to reach through VBS, the young people that we're going to reach through camp, fill in the blank. They are imperative to help us to continue the gospel. We're going to close with these thoughts. Looking now back at 1 and 2, because point 3, I preached point 3 without saying it. They are the key to preserving the gate of the gospel. So yes, the first three verses apply to these verses. Here it is. God builds the family, the church, and the ministry in verse 1a. God keeps the family, the church, and the ministry, verse 1b. All of our work in the flesh is empty. Church, we should not pour our time in the youth tonight so that we can grow as a church. That's not the reason we do it. You and I should not work ourselves to a frenzy so that we can get this at the end of the week. That's not why we do it. We do it so that someday we can look these people in the eye on the other side of eternity. That's why we do it. We do it so God can be glorified, so that someday when they're standing in this chair raising their hands because of what God is saying and doing for them, all glory goes to God. Because you see, this isn't a work of man, church. If it's a work of man, let's go home and go fishing. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is a work for the glory of God. This is a work because of God, because He made it all possible on the cross. There's only one person in this church worthy of everything that we're doing, and that is Jesus Christ. You notice I said one person in this church, because you see, the Holy Spirit rests in every believer in here, and we are a representative body of Jesus Christ, and He deserves all the credit. So, VBS workers, how are you going to make it through this week with all these frustrating, beautiful little blessings of God? You're going to pray before you come. You're going to get right with God. You're going to ask God to forgive you for all your impatience. You're going to ask God to help you, give you the energy, then the strength. Some of you probably need to drink a four-hour energy before you come tonight. Whatever the case may be, but you're going to pray through it. And you're going to have others. You're going to have people keep you accountable. Hey, if you see me getting grouchy, you call me on it, type thing. And we'll be fine. Now watch this, church. Some of you know that you're beyond children's ministry. Praise the Lord that you have that kind of wisdom. But maybe you can fill your car and bring those neighborhood kids to a VBS tonight. Maybe if you're not supposed to be involved in VBS, at 6 o'clock, you turn your TV off, you turn your radio off, and you spend 10 to 15 to 30 minutes in prayer just that God would move in this VBS tonight and throughout the week. Wednesday night, Brad is going to share the gospel with these kids. He always do it. He always does it age appropriately. The younger years, he just shares the gospel. He does not give an invitation. But the older ages, he shares the gospel and gives an opportunity to respond. He always has adults ready to go to talk individually. It's done as non-pressured as it can be done, but it's done. And church, I believe that's God's call upon us, is to give the opportunity and to help those that respond and say, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. You remember little Brooklyn Thielman about 3 weeks ago? She was saved at VBS last year, and she was baptized about 3 years ago. And that's how it works. Praise God. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? You remember the Romans 10 passage. I'm going to get there just for a second. Romans 10, some of the most powerful words are spoken by Paul. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You can be a part of that effort this week. At the very most, you can pray. At the very most, you can pray. But you can also fill your car and bring kids. You can also volunteer. I'm sure if there's a need, Shannon and Brad will tell you. You can pray for these leaders that will be volunteering and working throughout. You can beg God to save souls. Let's throw our collective shoulder behind VBS this week for the glory of God. If you're here today, well, a crowd this size, surely there's someone that has never prayed to receive Christ. This is an invitation. I'm asking you to come. I'm inviting you to come. You come and I'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Maybe you just want to come and make this an old-fashioned altar. Whatever the case may be, will you come?